Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 6 through 17. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise for yourself." He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word which you have given us. We thank you that we can read your word from so long ago and know that it has meaning for us today. And so, Lord, I pray that our ears, our hearts, and our minds will be open to the message you have for us. And Lord, I pray that this message is not my own, but it is yours as I have heard it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. An unusual passage of scripture for this time of year, isn't it? In fact, Margie at Christ Church and LaVon both said to me, "Are you sure this is the passage of scripture that you want this week?" It seems out of context. But as I read that passage of scripture, could you place yourself there? Could you picture that in your mind? Did you picture that in your mind? No one?
Yes.
Could you imagine if you had been there that day? Were you there as those who were on the front lines, who were laying their coats in the palms on the road as Jesus rode in on that donkey? Were you maybe a little further back where you had to stand on tiptoe or maybe jump up to be able to see Jesus? Would you have been in that crowd, and would you have been one of those people who were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest"? Or would you have been further back and away from the crowd, standing in a distance and just watching them quietly? Or maybe you wouldn't have been anywhere near the crowds of people because it was expected that there were more than 2 million people at the Passover feast. Regardless of where you see yourself in that story, whether it is in the front lines or whether it's at a distance or whether it's nowhere near those crowds, I imagine that that would have been a lasting impression in your life to be among the people who were there celebrating Passover as Jesus rode that donkey in the town. What I want us to remember is that Jesus planned this. It wasn't on impulse that Jesus said, you know what, I think I'm going to ride a donkey in the town. He had intentions, knowing what was happening in Jerusalem at that time. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, we are told Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. And so he was very intentional about what he was going to do. He knew that God's people were there for the Passover festival. And in that Passover festival, the reason the people came is they came to seek God's forgiveness for their sins. People traveled from great distances, and it was law that they be there for this holy festival. And as they came, those who lived close may have brought their own animal with them for the animal sacrifice and seeking that forgiveness for their sins. And as they came, those animals had to go through an inspection. And oftentimes what the inspectors did was said that this animal wasn't pure. And so they would have to buy an animal from those who were there who sold these animals for their own benefit. Even though the person who brought it knew that it was a perfect lamb. It was a perfect dove. Those who lived further away and couldn't bring their sacrifice animal would have to buy them there. And they would upcharge them for this animal. And sometimes they would even take the animals that they had confiscated from others, saying they were impure, and resell them to the people who needed to buy them. When people came from other places, they would have to exchange their currency for the currency that was accepted by the money changers. They would charge them a fee to change that money. And sometimes they even charged them a temple tax. Jesus knew what was happening. And Jesus made up his mind that he was going to go to Jerusalem at this time. And he was going to take care of it. Just one more reason the Pharisees decided to kill Jesus. Jesus knew what lay ahead. Jesus knew that he had to die for the sins of the world, and yet he made up his mind to go to Jerusalem, to go to this Passover festival, to do the kingdom work that was before him. And we see once more how God is at work. Have you ever made your mind up to do something? I like responses. And when you made your mind up to do something, have you noticed the power that is behind that in order for you to be able to accomplish whatever it is that you have made your mind up to? Well, I would like to ask those who are members of the United Methodist Church and those who are attendees, have you made up your mind to support the church and to serve God through the church? Right now, in the midst of what is happening in the United Methodist Church, with General Conference holding a special session in 3 weeks, to look at the issue of human sexuality, I have been told and I have heard people say, I have made up my mind, if General Conference passes this legislation, I will leave the church. Are all of you familiar about with this general conference, this special session of general conference that's going to be held at the end of February? I see heads shaking no. Well, for the last 40 years, there has been a debate in the United Methodist Church's official stance on the inclusion of the LGBTQ community within our denomination. And so this special session of annual conference is being held with three formal proposals being given of how it is that we can live into that. And so one of the plans is that each church and each pastor can make the decision of whether they would allow that inclusion in their church, which would mean that would allow a gay person to be in the pulpit as well as to allow gay marriage. Now, one thing I have heard said, which is a total untruth, is all gays are pedophiles. That is totally untrue. I am also, if you look at it, all pedophiles are not gay. The other issue is to allow gay marriage in the church. And so the one proposal is each church and each pastor would decide that for themselves. The other would be that there would be different conferences. And so say the conference in California is in support of the LGBTQ community and of ordaining gay pastors and allowing gay marriage, and a pastor here in Tyrone also agrees with that. But our conference does not agree with that. So what that could possibly mean is the pastor who does agree with it would then be part of that conference in California and not part of the conference that is here. The third option is to leave things exactly as they are. What we need to understand, though, is that on all sides of this discussion are Christians who love Jesus, who are passionate about making disciples for Jesus Christ, and who are connected together through the blood of Jesus Christ and want to remain connected together through the United Methodist Church body. What this truly is a war of our hearts. A Bible-believing people who are interpreting Scripture differently, and so there are different thoughts. My question is, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I don't know about you, but I can tell you that I myself have been praying for Jesus to just hit me over the head with a 2x4 and tell me what it is he would do. That hasn't happened. When we look at this situation, we see that it is tearing our church apart. We need to understand, isn't that exactly what Satan wants? Because when we are divided, when we are arguing with one another, then we're not doing the work that God's called us to do. We're not making disciples of Jesus Christ. In fact, people are looking at us and saying, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want to be one. It doesn't mean that we give in to the world. It means that we hold true to our convictions. And we learn to live with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who think differently than we do. Because you know what? We are not the judge. None of us. There is only one judge, and one day we will all stand before him. We are told that in Scripture. All will stand before God. So then the question becomes, can we make up our minds to become part of the solution instead of part of the problem? The words that Jesus said in the scripture reading I read this morning said, "My house is a house of prayer." I think that is foundation to the Christian life. Prayer. We need to pray for the delegates who will be at this special general conference, and they are delegates from around the world. We need to pray that their ears, their hearts, and their minds be opened to hear the voice of God, for His will to be done as they wrestle with this issue. Every church in our conference has been asked to be in prayer while they are in session. Our day is the very first day of the session, February 23rd. And so I have a sign-up sheet, which I am going to put out in the vestibule, and I'm going to ask that you take a time of prayer that day, that you can take more than one time to be in prayer. And more than one person can sign up for a time to be in prayer. But in your time of prayer for that general conference, I would ask that you pray for the delegates, that they are led by the Holy Spirit to discern the will of God. Not our will, God's will. I ask that you would pray that there would be love and peace as we all seek to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I ask that you pray about the church, most especially our beloved United Methodist Church. We also need to be in prayer about how it is that you and I can continue to be the church regardless of the decision that is reached. I pray we make up our minds to be the church, to somehow work together to continue to love those who are different than us. I know I probably have said this before, but, you know, the Holy Spirit just keeps placing on my heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we can't love our neighbor as ourselves if we don't love the Lord with all of our being. And so I pray that we are able to love God with all of our being, and that we are able to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we are able to do that, we are able to be the church together. And God can do great and mighty things when we make up our minds to be the church. Did you notice in the gospel reading this morning of how Jesus brought the blind and the lame into the temple and healed them? After he cleansed the temple from those who called themselves the religious authorities, Jesus brings the blind, the lame, the maimed, the diseased, and he heals them. Do you know that they were considered to be under God's judgment and that they were not allowed to be in the temple? People shunned them. People excluded them. People ignored them. But that's not who Jesus is. Jesus loved them. Jesus embraced them. With that simple act, Jesus is saying the temple is not here to exploit people, but to heal them. The temple is not here to shun people, but to save them. The temple is not here to amuse people, but to love them. And the same holds true for God's church today. We need to remember that none of us are without sin. And we haven't been placed here on earth to point out the sin of others. We have been placed here to bring others into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to do the convicting. Not you and I. Every single one of us are moving on to perfection, but you know what? None of us have reached it yet. None of us are perfect. But my prayer is that at this special session of General Conference, that God's voice is heard loud and clear. But you know what? Regardless of whatever decision is made, I have made up my mind that my faith in Jesus Christ is strong enough to carry me through to continue to preach God's word as he gives it to me. My faith is strong enough to love those who are different than me because Christ loves them. And I have made my mind up to open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit for the sin that is in my life and not the sin of someone else. What about you? Can you make your mind up to be the church, to serve Jesus Christ and continue to make disciples of Jesus Christ regardless of the decision of this general conference? Can we trust God to carry us through?